But whatever is real is conditioned to arise, and the rupa which citta experience can be object of understanding, while the rupa from head to toe, the very tiny particle, arises by kamma or citta or uttu or ahara, arising and falling away all the time. The rupa which is not experienced has arisen and fallen away unknowingly all the time. So what you take for the whole body as me, in reality, no you, no one, only hardness there, only that. No world, no other world like sight, sound, but that moment is the citta which experiences hardness, that's all, in the day, like this, through different doorways. So this is the way to know that there is no my body anymore, only hardness when it appears, only visible object which is seen, only sound which is heard, that's all. So what is the pride of my body and myself when there is none, arising and falling away all the time? Which one is yourself? Should we be proud of anyone, or to be conceit of any hardness or softness?
Just on that last point, the body, I understand, I think what you're saying, that only a certain part of the body appears at any time, and the rest we are actually assuming is there by our thinking. But I mean, the fact is, take one's back, for example. Every time you do sort of touch it, it's there. So it's right. So even when it's not being experienced, you kind of know it's there from previous experience.
The same hardness.
Well, I suppose it's just a lot of thinking that and remembering, and that has built up and accumulated. But in a sense, it doesn't seem wrong, you know, because every time you go to verify if it's still there, well, it is. So you just use if it's there when you're not verifying it too.
What is still there in reality? For example, when one touches hardness here, one usually thinks that it's there all the time, right? But in reality, whatever appears is conditioned to arise. Now, at the moment of touching and hardness appear, it indicates that hardness must arise by conditions. Otherwise, it's not there. It's not here. But you keep on thinking that it's there all the time. But in reality, the rupa arises and falls away in split seconds, very fast. It can last only for 17 moments of citta, that's all, because the citta arises faster than the rupa. But the rupa at this moment or any moment has only 17 moments lifespan, so it does not stay at all. What you keep on thinking that it's there, not there, it's not there. Whenever there is touching, it arises, the object arises, so it impinges the vara or the rupa, which can condition the consciousness which experiences the rupa. So we have to develop another understanding that it's not there. Otherwise, one must think that it's there all the time, my whole body, my whole body.
Can we say that it's there, but it's not an object of experience the whole time?
No, because it arises and falls away faster than you think about it. What about the spaces in between the whole body?
But if one thinks of the conditioning factors, for example, as I understand it, the body is conditioned by kamma, for example.
Each smallest, tiniest group of rupa, very tiny one. the tiny particle arises and falls away. Whatever arises has to fall away. Otherwise, there must be always the idea of self, because it's not the moment of experiencing directly the arising and falling away of nama and rupa.
Sometimes I feel that self, that we know moments of reality are arising all the time, but self steals them before we can experience them.
Because there are only two different realities. The nama is the one which experiences an object, and we take it for self. And the rupa, which does not know anything at all, and we also cling and take it for self too. So if there is no precise understanding of these two realities clearly, until the panya can experience the arising and falling away, it's impossible to get away or take away the idea of self. Because whenever there is seeing, it's me. Whenever there is feeling, it's me. When there is memory or sanya, it's me. And when there is like or dislike, it's me. All five khandhas or all namas and rupas. So the panya has to develop and understand more and more each moment as no one there who sees now, because the mental reality experiences the visible object now. And at moment of hearing, it's not me, because it's only the reality which is nama which can experience the sound. So in a day, there must be only the nama and the rupa, from birth to death, from life to life.
John, you've talked quite a bit about nama and rupa as the only two realities lately, and rupa is always defined as being the reality that does not experience anything. Is there anything else we can, any other way we can describe rupa apart from that to help us?
By reading, by hearing, or by developing understanding. Because we know about Dhamma, that everything is Dhamma. Whatever arises, no matter it's Rupa or Nama, they are Dhamma. This should be the beginning of understanding what we used to understand as everything is Dhamma. We do not go further, but Panya will develop further and further beyond thinking. So we don't have to think much. When there can be the moment of being aware and developing the understanding of Dhamma, just Dhamma first. It's hard to believe that they are all Dhammas, no one at all.
It doesn't seem hard to believe, but it seems impossible to experience.
But when one believes, it means that there must be the way to develop panya to that degree which can experience it, because it's so true. It's the Arya Satya, the noble truth. If it's not like that, it's impossible to experience or to develop any level of panya. But when it's true, it means that that is possible for the development of understanding, to experience it one day. Maybe not today. But I think that it's good to know, because reality appears now, and when there can be a moment of studying it, developing understanding of the characteristic of nama and rupa, it's so true, and it's very, I don't know what to say. It should be done. Otherwise, we just keep on with our own idea about reality. But reality now appears ready to study, to understand more about it.
So can we say the task is to experience realities as they really are and not as we think they are?
Right.
We have a concept of how we think mm-hmm. realities are. As Tom said, I think it's very appropriate that it's not so difficult to understand at a certain intellectual level that it's just nama and rupa, but mm-hmm. the actual experience of that fact or truth yeah. is so difficult.
Yeah, because by knowing this, we understand what is said in Tipitaka, that there are three levels of understanding: by hearing, by developing, and by experiencing or realizing the true natures of reality. Yeah, the first level is the panya, right understanding from listening or hearing or reading. And the second one, when there is enough understanding theoretically, it can condition the moment of right awareness. By knowing the difference between right awareness and the other reality like concentration, because concentration is one jetasika and sati awareness is not the concentration, but there are many levels of sati too. At moment of giving things, like this morning, there must be sati at level of giving away things for the other's benefit. No matter it's dana or sila or samatha, these moments must be sati, which condition the giving or the sila or the samatha, the calmness or tranquility, but cannot know the reality as it is. Another level is the development of understanding by the awareness, right awareness, which arises by conditions, not by one's will. And the third is the realization gaining from developing satipatthana. Without the development of satipatthana, it's impossible to experience the realities as they are. So it shows that there is not just the first level of panya, there's also the second level, and by having the second level, there is also the third level of panya.
At the beginning level rises to experience, and it sounds like to me that like instead of worrying about whether or not, you know, like what has been experienced, whether or not is some kind of dosa or lobha, that is you know, the only thing that satipatthana at the beginning would experience is the fact that, you know, like this is a dhamma and maybe some characteristic of nama and rupa. Is that correct?
For example, it's quite not easy to understand the difference between sati at level of listening or considering and sati, which is right awareness of a reality which appears. So by having understanding of the satipatthana more and more, there can be conditions for satipatthana to arise. Otherwise, it seems like I'm trying to have satipatthana. I'm trying to think over it about the reality which appears. For example, when there is a moment of being aware of a characteristic, thinking follows a lot about that, whether it's rupa, it's not me, something like that. Because one cannot stop thinking. But by knowing the different moments of satipatthana and other moments, panya can grow and panya can see that which moment is satipatthana and which moment is not satipatthana. Because satipatthana arises and falls away so fast, and there can be thinking a lot about satipatthana or the object of satipatthana. But later on, when there is more and more awareness of a characteristic, then one knows that the moment of right awareness is different from thinking about it. For example, right now, if satipatthana arises, it cannot stay. and the other moment is thinking about satipatthana. So panya must be keen enough to see the difference between these two and knows which moment is satipatthana that panya will develop from that moment until it can directly experience reality, which is the object of awareness right then.
But it seems thinking about the reality that appears seems to be sometimes so very short that, you know, like it doesn't even appear to be wording that, you know, like you have to think that, okay, this is loba, this is nama, this is rupa.
Usually it must start like that. And later on, when satipatthana develops on and on, without attachment, see, the path is different because the path is difficult because it has to go along with detachment. Usually we have attachment all day. But when we have attachment to the development of satipatthana, it's there again, unknowingly again. For example, even when there is awareness of a reality, there can be intention later, even at the moment of experiencing hardness or whatever it is. But the intention is not the path, see? So panya must be keen enough that at moment of intention wanting to know, even the object appears, that is wrong because it cannot develop by having intention to know. See, panya has to grow and grow and see and understand the details of the moment of developing satipatthana too, whether it's the right one or it's there, the lopa. Because only the sotapattimakkacitta can eradicate the silapattapramasa, the wrong practice, completely, absolutely.
So the fact that, you know, like one may actually have loba immediately following after sati, or even like identification of the dhamma mm-hmm. that appears may in fact just be a form of subtle loba or not so subtle loba, and that would actually, is that correct?
Yeah, and panya knows so that panya can grow higher and higher. If there is no understanding at that level, then it gets stuck again and again. Lopa does not let go anyone at all. It follows. Even there is nothing appear right now except just softness or hardness. No sight, no sound, no thinking. Only the hardness appear very dark because no light, no sound. But clinging is there. Hardness is still me. Because even there is nothing at all, lopa clings to whatever appears. Never let go. Only panya can let go. Wrong understanding and clinging. That's why panya can grow and grow and grow and grow. By developing right awareness.
You stress very often that we can, that when we know the difference between the moments there is sati and the moments there is no sati, sati can be developed. And I used to think when the object is a concept, not the paramatta dhamma, we can know the difference. But now I learned that there are other kinds of thinking of realities, and it is much more subtle to know the difference between those moments.
I think time is up, and so I'd like to thank you, Ajahn Sachin, for the discussion today. Thank you very much. Thanks also to Khun Suphi for...